Lord, to whom shall we go? Now you see the point of what he's saying. Lord, what's the alternative to you? To whom shall we go? If you will not live for Jesus, for whom and for what will you live?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And that is a question, Colin, that all of us have to wrestle with at some point in life. You know, are we going to live for Jesus or not? And you actually had the opportunity to address the student body at Taylor University, talk with them about a faith that lasts. Because I think a lot of us struggle with faith. We have people that we know in life who are drifting, others who are defiant, others who are doubting. They wrestle with assurance. Today, we're actually looking at the topic of what it means to be a real disciple of Jesus.
That's right. And in order to stand as a disciple of Jesus, we've got to know how to resist the cultural pressure of people moving away from faith. And you see this in John's Gospel in chapter 6, where crowds of people leave the Lord Jesus Christ because they're offended at what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then Jesus turns to Peter and says to him, now, what about you? Are you going to go away as well? And Peter comes up with this marvelous answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Now, how rich we are in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have more life than you know what to do with. You are rich in life. And we looked at that last time.
Yeah.
But today, here's where we're going to focus. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Sure.
I mean, what's the alternative? If you're going to go away from Jesus, what are you going to go to?
And people pick all sorts of different things. You know, the pleasure of this world, they're chasing money, they may be chasing relationships, chasing status. And in today's message, you're actually going to share a story about someone who did go down a different path for a season.
Someone I know well, who was part of our congregation here, went to university, and his faith was completely deconstructed. He lost it all together. And in God's mercy, he came back.
Yeah.
And he put the story in writing, and I share it in the program today. It's very, very moving to me. You know, without Christ, there really is no hope.
Yeah.
And that's the point of Peter's answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Well, if you can, join us in John chapter 6 as we continue a message called Disciple. Here is Pastor Colin.
How are you going to stand firm when vast numbers of other people are turning away? How are you going to have a faith that lasts? How are you going to move beyond drifting, away from defiance, and beyond doubting, and live as a disciple of Jesus? And I want in this last session, therefore, just to leave with you very simply the marvelous answer that Peter gave to Jesus' question, do you want to go away as well? Notice three things very simply here. The first is, here's how you'll stand for a lifetime with Jesus. Because you know the richness of life with Jesus. The richness of life with Jesus. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When I was in high school in Scotland, we had a math teacher, delightfully eccentric, who would give us an equation or whatever to work on, and a certain amount of time for us to work on this thing and to resolve it. And he would always say the same thing after he'd finished doing his thing up front and then got us to do an exercise together. He said, you're going to have to get going on this because you're short on time. And he said that every time, I mean, every day, you know. So, of course, we helped him out as a class. You know, as soon as he said the first part of the tagline, you know, you're going to have to get going on this, we'd all shout out, because we're short on time. And that phrase is embedded in my mind forever. Without eternal life, we would be short on time. Put yourself for 1 minute in the shoes of a person who doesn't have eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, I feel sorry for you. Your life is so short. and you will always feel that it is slipping away. And if the only good you're ever going to enjoy is the good that you get hold of now, you are going to live with the fear of what you might miss. FOMO will be written all over you, fear of missing out, because you've only got this very, very little life. And with so little life, if something should happen to you that harms or spoils your life, you will feel ultimate loss. This life is all that I have, and now it's been spoiled. Without eternal life, you will inevitably be drawn to one of two alternatives. One would be to throw yourself into a life of indulgence. Try everything. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I've only got a little life, so I've just got to try everything. Or, if you don't do that, you go the other way. You will live with fear, caution, grasping on to this little life that you have, desperately trying to make sure that you don't let it slip through your fingers. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, think about the reality of your position in Christ. You have eternal life. You have life stored up, inexhaustible, never-ending. Pleasures greater by far than all the joys of life and love that you can experience here lie ahead of you. And when you live your life here knowing that this is your position, you will be in an entirely different place. If you know that you have eternal life, you will feel that you can give the life that you have now freely to the one who gave his life for you. You will be freed from this terrible fear, the haunting fear that somehow you might be missing out. And if something should come into your life that spoils or harms or hurts or wounds, and you no longer have the life that you thought that you would have in this world, well, you will grieve. But you will grieve knowing that you have an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. And when you feel that your years are slipping away, you will say, I am getting nearer to incomparable joy. The towel is a really important symbol and a very wonderful one here at Taylor. Jesus took the towel and he washed the disciples' feet. The disciples' feet. I mean, it's not that difficult to love and serve people who are with you and for you. What's really hard is to love and serve people who don't understand you. To love and serve people who let you down. To love and serve people who don't show up when you need them the most. And you think about it, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That means he washed the feet of Thomas who doubted him. He washed the feet of Peter who denied him, and he washed the feet of Judas who betrayed him. How did Jesus do that? Well, actually, John tells us how Jesus did that. It says very clearly, John 13 and verse 3, Jesus knowing. So we're being pointed to something that Jesus knew in the depth of his being. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he'd come from God and was going back to God. You see, that's how he rose from the supper, laid aside his outer garments and took a towel and tied it around his waist. How did he do it? He knew he was going back to God. And knowing this, he gave himself to washing the disciples' feet. Now, I'm saying to you that in the same way, when you know that you have eternal life, you will be free then to pour out your life in service for Jesus Christ. That's the key. You've got to know how rich you are in Jesus Christ if you're going to pour out your life in service. You've got to be able to know and say, as it says in the New Testament, all things are yours. Life, death, the present, the future, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. You are rich in life. And when you know that you are more rich in life even than you can fathom, you will be free to go out and to give yourself in serving the Lord Jesus Christ for a lifetime, irrespective of what it costs.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Disciple. Now, we have to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. If you joined us late, have to leave early, or you ever want to go back and listen to one of the broadcasts in the series again, you can do that at our website. Just come to openthebible.org. Well, I love reading, but admittedly, I don't have a lot of time to read. So when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe that's you. You resonate and identify with that. If that's the case, we're excited about a brand new podcast we want you to check out. It's called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and the Hike Through the Bible podcast will take you on a journey through the entire Bible story, giving you the option of listening or watching rather than reading. And in each episode, I'll read a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible, and then I'll discuss it with some friends. I hope you'll join me in hiking through the Bible. You'll grow in your faith. You'll deepen your grasp of Scripture, and you'll come to love Jesus more. It's not too late to get started. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I do hope that you'll take that hike through the Bible with Pastor Colin. Certainly look forward to doing that together. Again, if you want more information, openthebible.org/hike. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
And then there's a second thing that you need to know as well, and it's in Peter's answer here. You need to know first the richness of life with Jesus. But remember, too, the poverty of life without Jesus. Notice what Peter says here. Jesus says, well, what about you? There's thousands going away. The culture is secularizing. What about you? You want to leave me too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now, you see the point of what he's saying. Lord, what's the alternative to you? To whom shall we go? If you will not live for Jesus, for whom and for what will you live? I want to read you a testimony of a student who grew up in the church that I serve. I know him very well and love him. And he wrote his testimony to me, and I quote it with his permission. It's moving for me to read as I think of the journey that he went on. So let me just read this testimony to you. I'm sure you will relate to it well. He says, I knew from the time I was about 12 that there was something inside of me that wanted to run my own life. I felt something like a mass of impulses and a desire for power. In college, I heard all the time about how these impulses were there to be let loose. I heard from therapists and counselors and an endless tidal wave of professors that the denial of the self was the same as repression. They told me I was damaged by my faith, that my faith made me naive. The attitude was very simple. Deep down, you know that nothing you do matters, so you might as well have some fun before you disappear forever. My graduate level work had me reading a lot of postmodernist writings. I learned that all the good things in the world are actually oppressive power structures, that God was a patriarchal lie to be killed off right away, that there is no such thing as evil, and consequently no such thing as good. For the first year of this reading, I simply ignored it, but I couldn't reject it all forever, especially as I was becoming alienated from my colleagues who saw me as an obscurantist fool. Given time and given pressure, it eventually started to sink in. The darkness offered freedom and unlimited pleasure at no cost. I could say, do, or be anything I wanted, and there would be no God to judge me. So I became an atheist in the summer of 2016. And in the face of this nihilistic and bleak outlook on the world, my entire value structure shifted. I decided to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. What else was there to do? The symptoms of a sinful spirit vary. My mode of being was focused on drowning my pain with the noise of pleasure. But as I'm sure you could have foreseen, a hedonistic lifestyle fixed precisely nothing and only created more problems. I was possessed by impulse because I gave it control over me. And I still somehow felt morally superior to everyone else around me. I was prideful and arrogant, and all my friends were cheering me on for how far I'd come. I'd overcome the foolishness of the Christian lifestyle, beaten back the superstition of objective morality, and liberated myself from the bonds of puritanical moralizing. But that cheering stopped when I left the echo chamber. I graduated and immediately went straight to the abyss. Like the majority of my fellow graduate students, I was chained to alcohol, cigarettes, and antidepressants. I destroyed relationship after relationship. I believed that anyone who thought they loved me simply didn't know me. At a certain point, I didn't believe in love at all. I thought that if only these people who said they loved me knew how terrible I was, they would abandon me. So I tested people. I tried to see how bad I could be before they would give up on me. And after I had killed off whatever good relationships I still had, I realized that I had nothing else to destroy, and I felt worse than ever. I shuffled around in that darkness for several months, wondering why this had happened to me. What had I done to deserve all this pain? I still had this belief that I picked up at university that everyone but me was responsible for my problems. It was society's fault. It was my parents' fault. It was God's fault. Yes, even though I didn't believe in God, it was still somehow his fault. I hated everything, especially myself. There were only two ways to go: suffer meaninglessly for the rest of my life or commit suicide. Those were my options. And I thought about them every single day for a year. Now, I'm asking you this question: where will the desires of your heart take you if you walk away from Jesus? What power will rule your soul if Jesus is not the Lord of your life? What fruit will come from your life if Jesus Christ does not nourish your soul? Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Now, this story has a good ending. I expect you might like to hear it. Now, let me read it to you. The turning point came for my friend when someone sent him a video. And he says, I watched it probably 10 times on the day that I got it. Clarity. I was the problem. I remembered a time when things made sense. I remembered when I believed in the good and when I believed that the world could be redeemed. I suddenly realized quite clearly that faith was what was missing from my life. My conversion to Christianity came gradually. First, I pledged myself to whatever God was, the God of love and truth. I still didn't like Jesus and had a lot of hang-ups with Christianity. The second thing I did was to try and ask forgiveness from the people I'd hurt. It wasn't always forthcoming, but I started to learn that when love fails, through faith and humility, it can almost always be resurrected. I lost and regained this faith in the God of truth and love again and again, and for a month I tried to get a job anywhere. My money was disappearing. I felt desperation sinking in once more. I don't remember what caused me to pray to Jesus for the first time, but I did. I desperately begged Christ for something to hold on to, and I asked for his forgiveness. I told him I couldn't do this on my own. I told him I was sinking fast and I didn't want to go back to the abyss I'd been in the year before. And that exact same day, I got 3 calls about potential jobs. I remember praying a few weeks ago, last paragraph, telling God again how sorry I was that I'd abandoned him. And the answer that came was, I never left you. And he didn't. He's been with me through this whole thing. And sometimes it brings me to tears to think of the things that I did and then to remember that I am forgiven. And the only reason is the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That's a reality to me now. And it's growing too. Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Amen. You're going to have to stand, friends, when a tidal wave of humanity is moving away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's how you're going to do it. Because you know the richness of your life in Jesus, and because you are persuaded of the poverty of life without Jesus, and because you have seen the unsurpassing glory of Jesus. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life, and we have come to know and to believe that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus, there's no one like you. Not even close. No joy that this world can offer comes close to the joy of knowing you. No honor that this world can bestow can come close to the honor of serving you. You are God in the flesh, the Holy One with us. And you're asking us, do we want to go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
You know, if you know Jesus, I'm sure that you're encouraged by hearing today's message. And if you don't know him, then maybe as you've been listening, you've come to the point where you do want to come to Jesus, realizing, understanding that he does have the words of eternal life, and you want that relationship with him. You want to have that eternal life. If that's the case, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. You can contact us here at Open the Bible. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. You can also reach us through the website, openthebible.org. Well, today's message, Disciple, is part of a larger series where we've been looking at a faith that lasts. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program. You can also download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen is through the Open the Bible app. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching and listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. The app's free at your app store. Or, again, come to our website and listen online at openthebible.org. One other way to listen to the series again is to order a copy of Faith That Lasts on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Colin, it's Friday and the weekend's coming.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you to get to church on Sunday. You know, across the country, people who love Jesus will be gathering to praise him. And if you love Jesus, that's something you'll want to be part of. So find a church where the Bible is opened. And if you live in the Chicago area and you don't have a church home, I'd love for you to join us at The Orchard. There are 6 locations in the northwest suburbs. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.
Well, thank you, Colin, and thanks for listening. I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said,
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.